It's the Morning Conversation on News Radio 93.9 FM and 1240 KQEN. A presentation of Becky Holm, your insurance professional, focusing on Medicare, Marketplace, dental, and life.
I have been hearing people quote from the Old Farmer's Almanac my entire life. I think it started with my mom. We won't talk about how many years ago that might have been. And we're going to talk to the senior editor, Tim Goodwin of the Old Farmer's Almanac, joining us. Tim, good morning.
Good morning, Kyle. How are you?
Doing good. So you have been at the Old Farmer's Almanac for how many years?
I just passed 4 years, actually. But as you know, myself, I've been a fan and of the Almanac my entire life. You know, something I grew up with and, you know, had in my aunt's house, and my mom would get it. So yeah, it's been a part of my life for a long time.
Now, there was a rumor out a few weeks back that you guys were shutting down, but some people got confused. Tell us what's going on.
Yeah, there's definitely some confusion. So there's the Old Farmer's Almanac, who was, you know, we started in 1792 by Robert B. Thomas, but there was a Farmer's Almanac based in Maine that, you know, they announced recently that 2026 would be their final edition of the almanac. But, you know, a lot of people got worried that it was us, but, you know, that iconic yellow cover with the Old Farmer's Almanac isn't going anywhere. Business is going really well. You know, we have, over the years, they've done a lot of things to diversify, you know, find new revenue streams, new distribution channels, you know, really increased the amount of publications that we do, you know, with our garden guide and our kids almanac, you know, the gardener's handbook series. So we've really tried to see what has worked well for the almanac and really dive into that space. So yeah, we're not going anywhere. You know, we just published 234. We're working on number 235, and I anticipate it's going to be around a lot longer than I am.
Wow. So how did all this get started back in the late 1700s?
Yeah, I mean, at that point, you know, almanacs were really popular. They were regional. They were town-centric, you know, because people weren't traveling very far. But they needed that information. You know, those early almanacs had some really interesting and kind of information that, you know, we quickly do a quick Google search for. You know, it would have post office rates and court dates and when they were open, you know, roads that, you know, you could drive through. So a much different way it was used back then. You know, Ben Franklin had his own almanac for, you know, a number of years. So Robert B. Thomas decided to start this. I mean, you know, he was always a fan of almanacs. He was an amateur astronomer, you know, was really into weather and what was happening in our night sky. So he took the chance to be one of many people that were putting almanacs out at that time. You know, his first published one was during George Washington's first term as president. And it just, it went really well. You know, he printed 3,000 copies that first year, jumped it up to 9,000 copies the second year, only cost 9 cents to buy at that point. And now, you know, we distribute 2.5 million copies a year. We've never missed a year. We're the oldest continuously published periodical in North America.
So how was it printed and distributed back then? I mean, technology very much different, to say the least.
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Not much technology back in 1792. Yeah, it was, you know, he had a, you know, at that point, it was all about connections. So, you know, he had a connection with somebody who was a printer, got them to print it for him. And, you know, distribution was, you know, he would deliver it to people's houses. People would come and pick it up from him. So there was, you know, much different than it is now. You know, it was all about word of mouth. And, you know, when he first started, it was about somebody telling somebody else that, you know, Robert put out an almanac, you should check it out. So very different, but, you know, it gained popularity. And then over the years, you know, a lot of these almanacs went by the wayside, unfortunately, but he was able to keep his going. You know, there was a lot in those weather forecasts that people really enjoyed and looked forward to. And at that time, you know, you relied on an almanac for your weather forecast. You relied on it for, you know, planting your crops in your gardens and the way that you were able to feed your family. So, you know, a lot different. But, you know, if you had that information in there, people would find it useful and they would keep coming back year after year.
So how do you put it out now? What's sort of the distribution publication system?
Yeah, I mean, so we start working on it, you know, it hits the store shelves at the end of August, but we're really starting you know, the summer before that, that starts with our ideas meeting. And, you know, we start getting assignments of who's going to write what. We all in our editorial staff, we all have our own group of pages and different responsibilities. You know, some of us are fact-checking stories. Some of us are fact-checking the weather and, you know, working with those meteorologists to put that weather together. And other people are looking at it to make sure it fits our, you know, our writing style. You know, and then the distribution, you know, it gets printed and it gets sent all over the country. You know, like we're big on Amazon. HarperCollins is our book distributor. You know, we're in a lot of places where books and magazines are sold. So it really kind of, once it gets printed, it gets kind of sent all over the place, you know, and we have displays, we have, you know, single copies on bookshelves. So there's a lot of different ways that the Almanac is put out there for people to see.
What's the favorite part of what you get to do?
You know, it's hard to pinpoint one thing. You know, we've worked with some really great writers over the years, and I really enjoy like reading somebody's, you know, their area of expertise. We know when we find somebody to write something, whether it's on astronomy or weather, you know, it's really interesting and fascinating to read, you know, what these people's life work has been about and how they're able to kind of put it down in a way that, you know, myself, who may not understand, you know, all the terminology when it comes to, you know, astronomy or all the different ways that you can see things, you know, weather-wise. You know, it's interesting to see that, and it's really fun to kind of go through that, fact check. You know, I'm responsible for those middle pages, those calendar pages, which are really kind of the heart of the almanac. They're basically unchanged since Robert B. Thomas founded it. So I get to work on that. I get to comb through the data. I get to, you know, read from our astronomer, the Skywatch. So, like, being responsible for those pages is really something that I take a lot of pride in, and it takes a lot of time and energy. And, you know, when you're looking at pages and pages of data, you know, it takes kind of, you know, some mental toughness, I guess, to comb through it and make sure that you're really getting it right when it, because the whole point of what we do is to make sure whatever's in this almanac is factually correct and is readable for, you know, all the people around the country that pick it up every year.
Now, I understand that though you graduated from a college back east, you have an Oregon Duck connection.
I sure do. So I went to Keene State College. You know, it's local here in New Hampshire, but I was looking for something a little different. So I started looking around, you know, not transferring, what options I had. So I ended up doing a national student exchange for a year in 2001, 2002 school year. Settled on the University of Oregon. I was lucky to get in, but, you know, at that point, I was a journalism major, wonderful journalism school, wanted that test of going to a big school. I wanted to go far away from, you know, home, which, you know, you can't really get that much further away from home from New Hampshire to Oregon. And I also, you know, huge sports fan, so wanted to go to that, you know, Division I big time athletics. So it all kind of worked out into that package, and, you know, loved every minute I was there. Would have loved to have gone back the rest of my time, but, you know, it was a little outside of my price range at that point.
So you probably spent a little time in Autzen Stadium then.
Sure did, yeah. I went to every home game, and I was out there. Unfortunately, you know, the year before I went was that Joey Harrington year when, you know, they ended up number two in the country at the end of the year. Didn't really turn out that well the year that I went, but still an enjoyable experience. You know, love MacArthur Court. Got to see, you know, Luke Jackson, Luke Ridenour play. So, you know, I can't complain. You know, would have loved to have a few more wins by the football team, but I think they're more than making up for it in recent times.
And you should come back out sometime and see Matthew Knight Arena for basketball. That really revolutionized that.
Yeah, no, it looks amazing when I get to watch it. You know, I get the Big Ten Network at home, and, you know, there's a lot of games that are on, but, you know, it looks amazing, but, you know, I still have that, like, that love for MacArthur Court, like sitting up in the, you know, up in the high stands with those metal poles coming down that you feel like is the only thing that's holding up those, you know, that high level seating. So it was really interesting to be able to kind of be that part of that history. But yeah, I keep telling my wife that, you know, we need to take a road trip or a trip out there so I can bring my kids and they can see all these places that I talk about.
Yeah. So if people want to get connected to getting an Old Farmer's Almanac, where do they get one these days?
Yeah. So, you know, where books and magazines are sold, you know, you can go on our website, almanac.com/where to buy. You can put in your zip code and it'll give you a list of retailers in there. If you'd rather have it delivered to your house, you can go to almanac.com/shop and order it there. Amazon as well. So there's many different opportunities and ways you can get it. You know, we love to hear how people get it because a lot of people have a store every year that they go and buy it from. Some people will say, oh, I was in the grocery store and I saw the display, decided to pick it up. You know, we hear those nostalgia stories of people who maybe haven't picked it up for a number of years, but they remember it from their grandparents and their parents having it, and they pick it up and, you know, we're pretty thankful for that.
All right, Tim Goodwood, senior editor of the Old Farmer's Almanac, still going strong. Tim, thanks for being on this morning.
Absolutely. Thank you, Kyle. Appreciate you having me.
All right, 8:42 at the Morning Report.